Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam class, and hopefully we can relate it to the subject matter of the retreat. It may give some. Initially, Jananda Maharaj is going to give class this morning, but to facilitate some of the disciples, they'll let me give first. So it will be a little bit of an intro, so we may overlap with our subject matter to some degree, but I hope not too much. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, and this is text number 18. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu.
Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu.
Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu.
Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Bhagavati uttama sloke.
Bhagavati uttama sloke.
Bhagavati uttama sloke.
Bhaktir
Bhavati Naistiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Nasta Preshu Abhadreshu.
Nasta Preshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Sloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Sloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Sloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Sloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
You don't have, if anybody knows it, they can chant it.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
Nashta.
Nashta.
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
Prayeshu.
Prayeshu.
Almost to nil.
Almost to nil.
Abhadreshu.
Abhadreshu.
All that is inauspicious.
All that is inauspicious.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Regularly.
Regularly.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
All the pure devotee.
All the pure devotees.
Sevaya.
Sevaya.
By serving.
By serving.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Uttama.
Uttama.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Shloke.
Shloke.
Prayers.
Prayers.
Bhakti-hi.
Bhakti-hi.
Loving service.
Loving service.
Bhavati.
Bhavati.
Comes into being.
Comes into being.
Nayastiki.
Nayastiki.
Irrevocable.
Irrevocable.
Translation. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. In response, please. By regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam,
by regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam,
and by rendering of service to the pure devotee,
by rendering of service to the pure devotee,
all that is troublesome to the heart,
all that is troublesome to the heart,
is almost completely destroyed.
Is almost completely destroyed.
And loving service unto the personality of Godhead,
and loving service unto the personality of Godhead,
who is praised with transcendental songs,
who is praised with transcendental songs,
is established as an irrevocable fact.
Is established as an irrevocable fact.
The poet by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles on the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavats are competent remedies, and both of them or either of them can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavats. Bhagavat book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Naradev, who happened to be a maidservant, son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came in contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality, Srila Naradev. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The message of the book Bhagavat therefore has to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Om Gyan Timirandasya Yananjana Shabakaya Chakshurum Meditanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vesaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesharasamidravi Pastachari Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadada Shri Vasli Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So I've got a question. Who's the most powerful, the book Bhagavat or the devotee Bhagavat?
Devotee.
Devotee. Hands up, devotees. Hands up, books. Nobody. I said Prabhupada, it was 1969. Does anybody know what happened in 1969?
He came to England.
Yeah. He came to England. That's a devotee's answer. What happened in the material world?
The moon landing.
Eh?
The
land on the moon.
Or whatever.
And so Prabhupada was travelling at that time, and he had a servant. And the servant was becoming a little bit, loose in his practice of devotional service. And so he was having some difficulty, and so Prabhupada was trying to encourage him. And this was an American devotee, so naturally, we become very nationalistic conscious when we lose our Krishna conscious. And even maybe when we're practicing Krishna consciousness, there's still a semblance of, family ties and national ties. And so this devotee, his national ties became stronger, and he was becoming very invigorated that the Americans were going to land on the moon, the first. And so he was daily giving reports to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was, encouraging him, oh, very nice. And then it came to the day of the moon landing. And so this devotee hired a television. And he invited Prabhupada to watch the television. And Prabhupada agreed, but when he came into the room, he sat with his back to the television, and Dhananjaya was massaging his head. And, this servant of Prabhupada was giving a running commentary on the moon landing. And Dhananjaya was also really absorbed in it, and so Prabhupada tapped him and said, so Dhananjaya got round and he sat down for him and massaged. Prabhupada said, massaging Dhananjaya's head, just to show him what to do. So then he went back, and of course he got absorbed again, so Prabhupada shouted him down again. And anyway, they came to the point where they, James Armstrong, was it?
Neil
Armstrong. just testing. So James Armstrong, he landed on the moon. Neil Armstrong. And Prabhupada became, this devotee, became really excited. Prabhupada, they've landed on the moon. They've landed on the moon. And Prabhupada said, oh. He said, are there any mountains there and trees? He said, no, Prabhupada. He said, are there any cities and people and animals? He said, no, Prabhupada, it's a moon, it's dust. And Prabhupada said, they have not landed on the moon. Now, this might sound, we can accept that maybe nowadays, but at that time, if anybody had said that, people would have thought they were crazy. But Prabhupada, he said, no, they have not landed on the moon. And actually, that was the last straw for this devotee. He left the moment. And Prabhupada was speaking to the senior devotees and said, I could understand him, not believing me, but how could he not believe Srimad Bhagavatam? So it's you know, it, this verse is saying that it both, and but without devotee Bhagavat, we cannot understand Rup Bhagavat. That's the point. But still, the devotee has to speak from Bhagavat, you know, not from anything else, and then it becomes a good relationship. So spiritual life is like that. It's not really black and white. Some things are black and white, but generally there's, you know, because spiritual life is a personal thing, and it's not an affair of logic. It's not logic. Most of the things in the material world are based on logic. It's based on sentiment. They call it bhava, the mood of the individual. So that's what Krishna reciprocates with, our particular mood, our particular bhava. So, you know, the Shastras also facilitate that. You know, Prabhupada, in one particular purport, he says, Srila Jiva Goswami says this, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this, and Sridhar Swami says this. He says, for the purpose of this purport, we'll follow the guidance of Srila Jiva Goswami. So he didn't say the others were wrong. So in devotional service, we, you know, when we're hearing the Shastra, we should always bear that in mind, that there may be contradictions, or that may be us. And also, everybody's an individual. We get different realizations in devotional service. And it's not necessarily that one's right and one's wrong. And also, we should understand that if there is some dichotomy about between devotees, it's not that important. You know what I mean? The things that are really important is like chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles, take prasadam, and these things don't change. But some of the other things, they may actually throw a devotee if he's not aware of this. You know, that I know one devotee, she heard this, it was Mataji, by the way, she heard this verse, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Kai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. So this is a famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's also one in the Bhagavatam as well. And it says, a moment's association with a pure devotee can give one complete perfection. And so it says, Lava Matra. It's like an 11th, is it an 11th or an 8th? Anyway, it's very quick, you know, it's like, well, 11th of a second. I mean, it's like that. So what can you get in the 11th of a second? And so, you know, this Mataji should really get in. She would ask, going around asking all the spiritual masters and sannyasis, and they couldn't satisfy her. Whatever answer, even though they were very nice answers. And then one day I heard a Prabhupada lecture, and somebody asked him the same question, because I didn't know the answer either. And Prabhupada said, it's like this. He says, there's wet grass and dry grass. He says, you know, if you strike a match and try to light wet grass, you'll be there forever and a day. It'll just maybe sizzle and go out, or you may get some smoke if you're lucky. He says, but if the grass is dry, as soon as you touch the match to it, woof, the whole field will go up in seconds. So Prabhupada interpreted it that way. And, you know, people may be arguing with that, but 11th of a second, you can't set a field on fire in an 11th of a second, you know. So many arguments might be there. But we have to remember also that, you know, the devotee is delivering information for time, place and circumstance, according to the receptivity of the audience. And so, you know, we shouldn't get too much uptight about the details. I just thought I'd mention that, by the way. So I say this verse is talking about how to associate with devotees. And any association with devotees is actually going to help us in spiritual life. What's the different senses that we have? We have the eyes, we see a devotee. I remember when I first joined the movement. Well, I didn't join the movement. I was still contemplating, and so I decided to go to the Manchester. It was a university program, and so the first person I saw was Ranjaw Prabhu, and I thought, wow, you know, he's glowing. And just by that, I thought, wow, there's something special about these devotees. It was so effulgent, and everybody else in the place was just like, you know, dull. So, you know, by seeing devotees, it actually lifts us, and we start to get some appreciation. And what else is there? There's smelling the devotee. I don't know about smelling. Maybe some. But, you know. No, smelling the incense, smelling the different paraphernalia. I remember when I got the science of self-realization. I was telling you about that yesterday. And every time I picked this book, I thought, wow, this book smells so good. You know. And so incense, you know, and all the different paraphernalia, the cleanness of a place, it's all helping us to understand that this is a special process. What else is there? Taste. I mean, everybody knows this one. People take prasadam and they can't believe it. You know, what did you put in this? You know, it's some devotion. So all these different ways we can associate through the person, because the person's mentality has gone into the prasadam, and that's what makes it so tasty. And then
Hearing.
So, yeah, by hearing, this is what we're talking about now. I thought we'd leave that one while last.
Touch.
There's a one touch. You know, have you ever been in a kirtan, you're feeling like you're just tapping your feet and you're not really into it, you know. And then a devotee will come and, you know, get hold of you, you know, you're an ivan, you know. You're going out with everybody else. So, you know, we get a transfer of energy. And then finally, there's the hearing process. So this is the most important. This is what it means. This is what it says, Nasta Prayeshu. If you regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then he was hearing from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, I like to hear. He said, I couldn't always understand, a lot of the time, I couldn't understand what he was saying because the philosophy and the concept was so high. And so Prabhupada, when the others would go on a parikram, Prabhupada would stay and hear from Bhaktisiddhanta, even though only a few would remain. So that says something. You just hear the subject matter. We may not understand it, because Prabhupada said, I couldn't understand. But then when Prabhupada came to take initiation, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said to the devotees who were approaching him on his behalf, he said, I will initiate him. He said, I have marked him. I have marked him. He likes to hear. So this is a sign of a devotee. That's in Nectar of Devotion, it says the same thing. The ability to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is a great boon. If we've got that inclination, then it's really, really helpful in our devotional service. And in all the other processes are bringing us to the point of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of the day. We have a morning program we've just had. What is it? It's like, first of all, we get out of the modes. You know, we get a shower, we get out of the modes, and then we come into, we start hearing the prayers. And then by the end of Mangal Aarti, we feel somewhat, you know, enlivened, and then we get into his japa, and then, you know, hopefully we feel more enlivened. Japa's difficult, you know, but anyway. And then we have Guru Puja, and then, you know, we're really getting fired up. And then the mode of goodness working so that we can hear Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of the day. But we have to hear it with proper attention. It was on bull. Who was talking about a cow yesterday? Was it Jananda Maharaj? They called it bull.
Malaysia.
Eh?
It was in Malaysia. The cows were coming into the lecture and listening.
Yeah. So, and bulls as well. One bull, they called him Dandukari. I think it was Dandukari. Something means ear, something to do with ear, part of his. And, you know, the devotees in one temple, I think it was in Orissa, and they would sit down, and all of a sudden this bull turned up. It walked into the... They tried to push it out, but they, you know, having a bull is, they couldn't shift it, and he just sat down in the middle of the class. And it started and so they, okay, let him in. And then as soon as the class were over, he'd get up and he'd go out. And then they said, that were unusual. And then the next day he was there again. And this bull kept coming. So yeah, even if we've got, you know, a low type of body, we can still get benefit from hearing. Actually, there's another one about a bull. It was Madhavacharya, I think. Excuse me if I get it wrong, it may have been Ramanujacharya, but I think it was Madhavacharya. He was, he wanted something, anyway, it was one devotee, I'm not even sure whether it was one devotee, he wanted to do some important devotional service. And so what do you do if you've got disciples? You sort of try and get them inspired to do it. And so he wanted to see who was qualified, so he says, we've got something important to do very soon, and I want to see by your ability to hear, who will be qualified to, you know, perform this task. And so they all got the notebooks, and they were, you know, leaning forward. You know, there's a certain, you can tell when somebody's interested, can't you? By their bodily, so they all made sure they were, like, say, properly situated in that respect, and they were hearing, taking notes. And then after about a week, he said that none of you will be fit to do this task. Why? Why, Guru Maharaj? He said, but he will, and he pointed to this bull. And I said, well, what's he got that we haven't, you know? He says, when I'm speaking and I make an important point, the bull is chewing cud, you know. He said, and as soon as I make an important point, he goes. And you know, then we get the point. You know, it's like if we really hear, it really goes in and we never forget. That's the purpose, you know, we're in such a disturbed age, we have to hear 19 times to get one point. But Shrutidhar means that we're so focused, and, you know, it just like it sticks. That's the nature of hearing properly. Can anybody remember anything in their life which they heard and they've not forgot? It may be an incident they heard about. Yeah?
Yeah, well, it was reading, but you know, when I very first joined the temple, I was making notes from the Bhagavad Gita, and I remembered in the purport, 1866, Prabhupada said that Masuchaha means do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. In the translation, it's you know, do not fear, but Prabhupada said Masuchaha means do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry, and I've always remembered that, you know, for the last 18 years, and always meditated on it. It's been a real inspiration for me on Sankirtan, that when, you know, you're trying to approach someone, sometimes you're thinking, oh, I can't approach them, I'm scared to approach, but do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry, that's what you have.
So that's affected the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear it with the mind and the heart, don't we? Real hearing, it's like, this is the externals, but it goes into the heart, something, then it really affects. Anybody else?
It was probably the first class that I heard. No, it wasn't. Anyway, it was one of the first classes I heard Srila Prabhupada give in Bhaktivedanta Manor on his Vyasa Puja Day 73. And Prabhupada was giving the class, and he was talking about, one thing he talked about was the microphone. What is a microphone? That when the manufacturer the microphone that he was speaking into, along with it, simultaneously they provide the instruction manual. And similarly, when the creation is created, simultaneously the Lord provides the manual,
yeah.
which is the Vedic literatures, simultaneously and naturally.
Yeah.
And then in the same class, Prabhupada's talking about Guru, and Prabhupada said, Guru is one. And that's really stuck in
my head. Yeah. Would you like to explain that a little bit more, how Guru is one?
Well, he was talking about the principle.
Oh, yeah.
Krishna is the original Guru, and the Gurus, they just repeat what Krishna said. Krishna says, surrender to me. The bona fide Gurus say, surrender to Krishna. So Guru is one.
I suppose at different times in my life I hear some things and then I think about them. But one thing that I've been thinking, I think I heard from Bhakti Vrinda Maharaj in Vrindavan once we were on Parikram, and he was quoting some of the acharyas, and there was a verse that, I'm yours, I belong to you. Knowing this, please take me to you. It's like a little, you know, prayer that we can say to Krishna.
Yeah.
And I just somehow was really attracted to it, and oftentimes when I lie in bed, you know, at night, or if I wake up and I can't sleep and I think about that, and it's such a nice try to think that my head is at Krishna's feet, you know.
It's Raghunath Das Goswami. Tavai Vasmi, Tavai Vasmi, Najiva, Vinaya Twaya, something, something.
Another one.
Yeah, it just reminded me when, sorry, it was just, I remember one time listening to my Guru Maharaj speaking in ISKCON, London, and in the lecture he was talking about how there's nothing in the 14 worlds but the holy name. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was saying, he said, this is it, this is it. And then afterwards, he led this kirtan, really ecstatic kirtan, went on for about an hour and a half, and if you've ever been in ISKCON, London, you know, the whole floor is bouncing. You think you're going to end up downstairs in Govinda's because there's so many devotees, and the kirtan was just getting more and more ecstatic. It was just raising the point. And then at that point, Indradumna Swami said into the microphone, this is it, this is it. And I looked at some of my god brothers and we were like, this is it. There's nothing else but the holy name. And it was just like, it was a real revelation. This is it.
Yeah.
So after that time, I kind of forgot about that, but it reminded me.
I see you made it.
Just in regard to that, what is it? Nama vina kichu nahi ka ara choda bhuvana maje bhaktivinoda Thakura. There's nothing other than the holy names in all the 14 worlds. We were on Navadvip Parikrama years ago, and Jayadvaita Maharaj gave a class at, anyway, somewhere. And he quoted that line. He began the class, that was the beginning of class. He said, that's it. That was the end of the class.
And then he broke it.
That was the end. He stood up and walked away.
Yeah. Anybody else?
For me, it's like sometimes when I get affected by external situations, there's always this verse that comes to my head, Matra Sparsha Shukandeya, Shitosha Shukandeya, Gama Painani Pastams Titiksha Prabhata. So ever since I heard that verse, Chaitanya made us learn it in the temple. That's the first verse we learned. Is it the second verse? The first one was
Gaino. It was the third one. The
third one, yeah. Yeah, and that just stuck in my head.
<That's>
Good today, it's still here.
Actually, the past time the Prabhupada made that point, he said the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is to tolerate. Is that right? And I think it was the German devotees that came over to one of the last darshans Prabhupada gave, and they were distributing a lot of books. And they were feeling like Prabhupada would be pleased with us. Well, we came into the darshan a little late, and they paid their obeisance, and just as they were getting up, Prabhupada saw what's the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, and they gave some answers, but and Prabhupada said, no, you're not reading, you're distributing my books, but you're not reading them. He says, to tolerate. So it's quite a deep, you know, if we don't tolerate, it means we're on the bodily platform, isn't it? Anyway, what were we talking about? The potency of our Shruti Dar. just let me.
Can I mention just another one?
Yeah.
Prabhupada speaking on this verse, Prabhupada asked, which is more important, the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat? Anyway, you know, a little bit of discussion was there. And Prabhupada said, the book, the person Bhagavat. Prabhupada said, because he can pull your ear. The book, you can put it down and leave it. But the person Bhagavat can pull your ear.
That's right, yeah. I mean, if anybody's got any more, you can, if devotees find this as helpful, we can have a few more examples. Yeah.
I remember we were in Italy, Bhakti Charamaraj is doing a retreat, and Manidhar Prabhu was there, who's a famous book distributor from Germany. So Maharaj had asked him to speak, and Maharaj specifically asked him to speak about how he became a devotee. And Manidhar, he became embarrassed, because he was like, you know, I've said this story hundreds of times, you know, and everyone's heard the same story. But he made a real important point before repeating the story. He said, actually, it's important for us to remember where we came from and where we are now. Because if we forget where we came from, we will actually not appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
And that always stuck with me.
Very important, yeah. Keeps us it's balanced. I remember when, it's just a small one, I was listening to a class in Manchester, and I hadn't learnt any slokas hardly, but it was just starting, and the temple president, he was just recited this verse, and I didn't feel particularly I was really focused in, but, you know, I just remembered the verse, just like that, at least the first line, first two lines, I just heard it, and I just knew it. So I got a little bit of a realization from Krishna that, you know, Krishna's the ability in man. And, you know, this is the point, is that we were saying earlier how we may not have, you know, a very strong desire to hear, or we may not be good at hearing, or we may not be philosophical, or, you know, so many things, but that's not really the qualification. As we said before, Krishna's looking for that, what's in the heart. And we're all conditioned in a certain way. And, you know, the ability to understand the Shastra is coming from Krishna anyway. And so Krishna, we're all what they call, what is it when you actually make something, instead of general, you make it specific. You, you know, like a car, you'll start to put a, you know, make it different from the others, customize.
That's
that right?
Yeah.
Customize. So Krishna's treating us all in that way. We're all in a customized way. We're all completely different. And so therefore, you know, whether we're actually intelligent, you know, materially, is not really an indication of how we can be advanced spiritually. Of course, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, the four seed verses explain this point that Tesham Satata Yuksanam Badisham Piripurvakam Dadadi Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mamupriyantate. And Krishna says in the purport that, Prabhupada says in the purport, sorry, that even if we can't understand the direction of the spiritual master or understand the books very well, he says that, you know, Piripurvakam, if we have the right bhava, the right attitude, we're trying to serve with love, then Krishna will enlighten us from within. And somebody is, you know, love is a verb. Does it mean that we feel something? It may be there, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is, you know, doing something for somebody else without any expectation of reward. This is what Prabhupada said. I remember Shruti Kirti, about, I'm talking about this mood of approaching this hearing process, which is also connected to devotion, to association. So it's not distance. Shruti Kirti, he was Prabhupada's servant. And he was feeling bad about himself because he didn't feel any affection for Prabhupada in the heart. Or, you know, he said, when he noticed that his godbrothers would come, they'd be really feeling a lot of ecstasy and affection towards Prabhupada. And he was thinking, I don't feel like that. And therefore, one day he told Prabhupada, he said, you know, all your disciples love you so much. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know. He says, but I don't feel that same affection. Prabhupada looked at him and said, he didn't say anything, actually. He left it for a while. And then he came back some time later and he says, would you like to serve me? He says, oh, yes, Prabhupada, I'd like to serve. He says, that is love. So, you know, we show, you know, this is a saying in the material world that, you know, lip service is not really an indication. We can say so many things. But the real thing is what we do, how we, you know, apply devotional service. And then beyond that, it becomes more subtle, is why? Why are we showing such? Why are we doing the service? And so devotional service becomes more and more refined like that. And this is actually the real nectar of, well, one of the nectars, maybe Maharaj can say more about this, but this is my realization, is that, you know, when we come up against some anarthas or obstacles and we become practiced at dealing with it, it becomes actually very, very satisfying and enthusing to us. Because we see that Krishna is giving us the ability to work in this situation. Because he's within the heart. He knows what we need to get rid of a certain misconception or a certain way of seeing things, and he's working it. And we see that in devotional service. Maybe not straight away, but afterwards we see, oh, Krishna helped me so much in that situation. One of the best verses, one of my favourite verses, and I'm sure everybody, all the senior devotees have heard this, it's called Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamana Bunjana Evatna Kritamri Parkam Ridvag Vapurbir Viradam Namaste Jiveta Yom Muktipare Sadaya Bhak. And this is I find it very encouraging, because I'm sure everybody can relate to that. Sometimes in devotional service, we're like going through the sand. You know, in the beginning, we're running on solid ground, but sometimes it feels like we've never tried running on sand. Mm. You know, we're working hard, but it's not happening the way it used to do. But, you know, this is another thing. And so when we're in that mood, you know, we can be like a little bit not so enthusiastic sometimes. And when I hear this verse, I always feel enthusiastic, because Krishna's saying in this verse that if we just carry on with the process of devotional service and accept whatever difficulty, we own the difficulty. It's not that things happen to us without some cause, and it's usually it's always for our benefit, whether we're a materialist or a devotee. And so seeing like that means we see Krishna's hand in the matter. And if we're thinking that, you know, let me carry on serving Krishna, I own this is my problem, and he says that mentality is the ticket back to Godhead. It's a dayabak. Dayabak in Sanskrit means rightful claim. Use it in law to, you know, like the son, the eldest son will eventually inherit the property of the father. And so, you know, it's natural. He doesn't have to do anything. Well, he has to do one thing. I think everybody knows. What does he have to do? Those who know, don't. Have a think about this. the son is 25, the father is 55. So sooner or later, you know, the father's going to leave his body. And so the son naturally takes over. So what does the son have to do to make sure he takes over? It's to stay alive. So in devotional service it's like that. We have to, you know, be enthusiastic even though there's no reason to be enthusiastic. And this is also a sign of love. You know, it's mentioned in the Shastras that there's no reason to actually serve Krishna, but I will. What's enthusiasm? Enthusiasm is described that, you know, one side of enthusiasm is that, you know, we get into the kirtan, and but another side is that, as explained in the Nectar of Instruction, that enthusiasm means that I carry on in devotional service but through my intelligence. We're intelligent enough to understand the situation and make the right choices and carry on with our devotions. That's enthusiasm. And like I was mentioning yesterday, in the household life, we have to apply that very much. So Krishna reciprocates in kind. So, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Prabhupada writes about the different processes of spiritual realization. That, you know, he'll reciprocate with somebody who's an impersonalist in a certain way, somebody who's a karmi in a certain way. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is like that, just to bring us to the point of bhakti yoga. Oh, that's right. So even in the spiritual world, you know, in this particular world, we're performing devotional service, and the usual thing is, like, when we work in this world, what's the thing that we're working towards? Generally, what's the mood? What time is it? Another hour yet, you know. So, you know, we don't give up our conditioning straight away, even in devotional service. We have to be, first thing is to be honest with ourselves, that we've got some conditioning, and we think a certain way, what's the problem? Everybody's like it. And so when we bring that to devotional service also, that, what we were saying just before that point, we were talking about...
You were saying that you carry on through your intelligence, even if sometimes you're not feeling so...
I've lost it. We're talking about...
About
love, yeah.
Enthusiasm. Doesn't mean if you don't feel like doing it, you'll do it.
Oh, yeah, the different levels as well, yeah. As well as that. So we may be doing service on a certain level where... You know, we're doing it out of duty, and we may not feel our affection. So this is one level of love, that, you know, we perform devotional service out of a duty. This is devotional service in the mode of goodness. And eventually when I become qualified in devotional service, I can take it easy, you know what I mean? In one respect, we can take it easy, you know, with the material energy has now not got a hold on us. But even in the spiritual world, you know, it's like there's never a dull moment. That, you know, even there's one pastime with the gopis in the 10th chapter. Pradikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami, he says, you know, I can't understand how, you know, these pastimes with the gopis, this is not... You know, this is like, it doesn't seem like, it seems like a loss, you know. And so, at that point, Shukadeva Goswami leant forward and he quoted one famous verse about, you know, some people see the Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some see him as an ordinary man. Some see him as the impersonal Brahman. He says, but they don't know that after heaps and heaps of pious activities, you know, bhakti, that some cowherd boys are playing with Krishna in the spiritual world. Anyway, that's a side point. We're coming off to the main point, is that when Shukadeva Goswami leant forward, he said that the point I was making is that most of the people in this audience, or a lot of the people, a lot of the sages and transcendentalists, and he said they can't understand this subject matter. He said, so I'm going over it in a way that they can understand it. And, you know, he was like facilitating that. And so the gopis, he was talking about the gopis and how they, Krishna played his flute and he attracted all the gopis to you know, ultimately to come to the Rasa dance. And he explains in that part of the Srimad Bhagavatam with the help of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that some of the gopis, they made it. They left their ties to their parents, their ties to their husbands, their ties to the son. And they gave up all that to fully surrender to Krishna. And some of them, they were on a different level and they couldn't make it. So even at the last moment, there's still, you know, even Krishna's constantly bringing his devotee to a higher level. The reason the other gopis couldn't make it is because they still had a little bit of attachment to Vedic custom. They were still thinking, if I leave home, then I can't go back. And so he said afterwards, you know, the heart burnt with, remorse. And he said, that remorse purified them of their, their misunderstanding. And the next time they got a chance, they could go forward. So, you know, devotees may also feel that sometimes, a little bit of remorse of what we've done, or what we've failed to do. But that's not really how we should feel. There should be something there. We should recognize it, but we still should still be enthusiastic in devotional service. And that comes from recognizing our situation. We can make mistakes. We're not on the highest platform. So what? We can still perform devotional service on our platform. And then at the end of this pastime, the ones go, you know, they had their Rasa dance. And, you know, Krishna was with the gopis. And then each gopi thought, Krishna's only dancing with me. I'm his favorite. And so he disappeared from there. You know, Krishna doesn't like pride. And so he disappeared from their view. And he just went with one gopi. That was Srimati Radharani. And so they were lamenting and they were feeling. Then they saw these footprints in the sand. And so then they started to. They were feeling a little bit of, transcendental envy that, wow, this gopi is with Krishna, we are not. And they followed the footprints, and then their footprints went small. Oh, this is where the gopi must have been lifted by Krishna. Now Krishna's carrying this gopi. And then later on, they found Srimati Radharani, and one set of footprints went on. Krishna had even left Radharani at that point. And when they asked Radharani, what happened? And she said, you know, Krishna was, showing particular affection towards Radharani. And Radharani became a little, you know, proud of the situation. She said, oh Krishna, please carry me, you know. And Krishna could see that there's some pride there, so he disappeared from Radharani. And then eventually they were looking for Krishna, the pastime goes on, and eventually they found Krishna. And they were really miffed, some of the gopis. We've given up everything and you just take off like that, what's going on? And you would do, wouldn't you? And so Krishna said, keep cool, he said, what really happened is that, you know, I'm in the heart, and I'm seeing your real mood, and you just wanted to serve me so much, and you didn't feel satisfied with the service you were giving. You wanted to give more, but you had no facility. You didn't know how. He said, so, you know, he created, through his pastime potency, Krishna temporarily covered them all so that, you know, they became proud. It wasn't a natural thing in the spiritual world to be proud. They became proud. He said, that gave me an opportunity to go away. And then when I went away, you know, your affection and desire increased. So, you know, don't think that when there's some obstacles in devotional service or there's some difficulty that it's a bad thing. It may be difficult to deal with, but if we learn how to deal with it, then we become happy in even that situation. Gradually, 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 we can get to that stage. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. That's something that I realised from that particular pastime. It's 9:15 now. I mean, should we have time for questions? Yeah? You said any? Yeah?
I just had one quick reflection and also a question as well for Maharaj. So I just, I was remembering, I like the point you made about how the bull, how Madhavacharya, he said he was qualified because he was listening, he stopped chewing the cud at that point.
Yeah.
And you were saying how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had said, I have noted, I will initiate Srila Prabhupada because he hears nicely, I have noted him. So I thought that was a nice point.
Yeah.
It inspired me to hear more, so thank you. Yeah. And I just had a question. You were talking about saying how, in relation to Shruti Kirti Prabhu, how, you know, he was saying, I don't feel like I've got any love, I'm not crying like the other devotees when I see you. And Prabhupada said, well, do you like to serve me? And he said, yes. He said, well, that's love. So then you were saying that there's different stages. So sometimes we're just doing things out of a sense of duty. So I'm wondering, at what point does doing things out of a sense of duty, because that obedience is like the first stage of love, but at what point and how does that sense of duty then come to doing things, you know, eventually with love?
Well, I can only give my realization, I mean, of what little bit of changing conscience might have taken place in me is that what I was saying earlier is that you notice that if you carry on with the process, that I'm sure all devotees have noticed anyway, but it becomes increasingly obvious that Krishna's taking care, you know, every situation. We just have to keep in the, you know, keep in the groove of practicing devotional service, and Krishna's manipulating the or is working in the situation. And when we appreciate, the more we appreciate that, the more we have affection. When somebody has got affection for you, you naturally reciprocate. So that's the way I see it, that it's just a reciprocal thing. As they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. And we realise that I would never reciprocate the way Krishna reciprocates. You know, I wouldn't do that. And then we realise what a personality Krishna is, how kind he is. And then naturally we just become very more and more sold out. Yeah.
Hi, Risha. Thank you very much for your very heart touching class. You spoke about Dayabak becoming a rightful heir when we actually cultivate a mood of gratitude in very difficult circumstances. And then you spoke about intelligence and you gave enthusiasm, and then you gave a definition in which you explained that actually we kind of then depend on our intelligence to move forward. Whenever our enthusiasm is slackened a bit, then we come to a certain point where we lose our intelligence. And I was actually wondering that when we go back and we depend on our intelligence, it is, for me, actually, because my faith is what Prabhu said, you know, I'm hesitating, I'm worrying, I have fear, you know, so then I have to start to depend on my intelligence. And then we see in the nectar of devotion, when we look at the progress of a devotee or different levels of advancement, we actually see that faith and intelligence are kind of like the way that we measure someone's progress or our own progress. And I feel that because my faith is so weak, yet I'm depending on my intelligence, am I at all making any progress, or am I actually going backwards? Because it feels like, you know, my faith is weakened, yet I sometimes somehow by mercy overcome the obstacle I'm going through by kind of relying on mercy and intelligence. So I'm kind of like wondering, am I going backwards, or is that also a form of progress? I don't know if that makes sense, but...
So let me try and understand what you're saying. That, you know, two things, faith and it's knowledge, faith and knowledge, are the, you know, where we gauge the development of a devotee. And you're saying you don't have so much, or you would like to have more faith. You're a little bit concerned that you have got the intellectual ability but not the faith, and it doesn't seem to be helping your faith to grow. Yeah?
Yeah, like experience that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have to be really, really patient. We've been conditioned for so many births, millions of billions, and it doesn't go straight away, but Krishna knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why he deals with us, and he gives us what we want to keep us interested. And he deals with us, you know, we may get purified, and he gives us what we want. And it's like he's trying to keep us so that, you know, we don't lose the process of devotional service through being disappointed or lose heart. And so therefore there's some material benefit, and it's also giving us enough direction through experience and devotees association. And by the ongoing process of devotional service, that gradually, it says in the Bhagavatam, I think, Maharaj, that our false ego is diluted. So, you know, gradually, the process, we're diluting as false ego. And the point is that we have to see the good as well. Patience, next of instruction gives us a formula. You know, enthusiasm, patience and confidence, and to carry on with the process and follow the acharyas. But this enthusiasm, patience and confidence are linked. That, you know, first of all is understand the process, sambandha gyan, understand exactly, this is philosophical, this is knowledge, but then we have to apply the knowledge. And so we're undergoing this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and it will eventually mature in spontaneous devotional service. There's no doubt. And so intellectually, if we're convinced about that, we won't give up the process, and we'll be patient. So confidence comes from understanding the process, and then we're patient, and we start to negotiate the path, and feel enthusiastic. Everybody feels like that, you know, at some point. I mean, the thing is, the best thing, if we're able to do it, is just, and if you're able to maintain it, you don't have to worry about all this philosophy. I mean, I'm getting a little bit technical. It's just, you just throw yourself into devotional service and be enthusiastic all the time, whatever happens. That's all we have to do. And we'll make rapid progress. But, you know, because we're conditioned, we have to deal with some, what they call it, stuff. We have to deal with this stuff. So don't worry, everybody's the same, I think. Well, except my mother, of course. Everybody's got some, you know, attachment. Or some, yeah, but the faith is the most important. Faith, you know, Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahe Suddhidai Nischai Krishna Bhakti Sarva Karma Karma Kritahai. Firm faith means that we think, I don't have to do anything else but serve Krishna. When we get to that point, we've got strong faith. Everything else, I don't really need to do, but Krishna may want me to do certain things, you know. But I just have to serve Krishna, and everything will be gradually. And that's what happens. We realise that we put into situations where we can't help ourselves, but Krishna creates a situation where we, you know, we're actually supported and protected. Is that okay?
Just a comment, if I may.
Yeah.
You were telling at the beginning, or in the earlier part of the class, you were talking about the moon man, what happened in 1969. As I heard it, let me just say that, how Dhananjaya Prabhu was there. Dhananjaya was massaging him. The devotee from America was Purushottam, who had, you know, doubts of different sorts. And so he was giving, Prabhupada was being massaged. Purushottam was giving like a running commentary. It was up somewhere. They had rented a flat for Prabhupada somewhere near Regent's Park, not far from Regent's Park, before the deity installation. And Prabhupada got tired of the running commentary. So he sent Purushottam into the kitchen to prepare something on the stove. But it was a rented flat, and you know, it wasn't in nice, very nice condition. So now Purushottam was in the kitchen on the stove doing something, and the stove exploded. And he got, you know, it's very dangerous actually. But anyway, he was all right. But there was soot. He got soot all over his face. And he came sort of staggering in a bit. And Prabhupada looked up, and you know, he's covered with black. Prabhupada said, ah, just see, Purushottam has just returned from the moon.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Venu. Hare Krishna. Nantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
There was one more question. I think we have time for one more question.
Oh, sorry.
I wanted to ask Maharaj if Srimad Radharani is expansion of Krishna and she can so-called become proud, does that mean that Krishna, and he can leave her, does that mean that Krishna also can become proud and she can leave him?
I mean, Krishna is the source of everything. How can he become contaminated by his things that he creates? Pride. You know, he can't.
How can she then?
By Krishna's pastime potency.
Justice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pastime potency, according to my understanding, it's working independently in one respect. Nothing is independent of Krishna, but it is. You know, it's called a chinchi beda beda tattva, but the pastime potency knows in every situation how to cover certain devotees and arrange a situation so that it creates a pastime which, you know, everybody enjoys. And so, you know, in one respect, all the devotees in the spiritual world, they completely free from any untowards quality. They've all got, you know, super excellent qualities. But, you know, in order to actually have pastimes, there's certain moods have to be created by this pastime potency. And so that's going on. We are controlled by Mahamaya. What is it? Mahamaya.
Yeah.
So that means it covers Krishna, and we're in ignorance. And so due to our false ego and our mind, we just do things, and then there's interactions. But in the spiritual world, everybody just wants to serve Krishna. But in order that to facilitate all those different kinds of services and interactions, then Mahamaya will cover Krishna's real identity from them and put them into a certain situation so they act in a certain way. And then, you know, there's a pastime created. So it's nothing to do with a real pride. And, you know, even Krishna's covered as well. The pastime potency covers Krishna sometimes, so he doesn't realize what the situation is. But how can we cover the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So this is where the philosophy comes in, Avachintya Veda Veda Tattva. I can't explain how it works in that respect.
I can just mention in regard to this specific point that Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura has written a book, a small book about this pastime, and his explanation, or yeah, you could say explanation, is that Krishna went away with Radharani, And Radharani, just, it's in the course of their pastime, she does things like that. She has to be kept carried, and Krishna more or less vanished. But when they, then the gopis found Radharani, then they all found Krishna, and the rasa dance continued. So Krishna explains then, according to the Srimad Chakravarti Thakur, that the gopis were just about to find us. They were pursuing us. They were just about to find us. And they were, as you put it, in sort of northern language, a little myth. So, Krishna felt that if they find us together, because they're miffed, it's going to be, they're going to make a whole scene. And, you know, why did you leave us? Why did, you know, what about her? And the rasa dance for that evening will stop. That'll be the end of the rasa dance. So therefore Krishna left Radharani so that when the gopis found her, they would feel compassionate that, look, you got left like us also.
Yeah.
And then they'd all be together, you know, feeling, oh, where's Krishna? And then Krishna appeared again. And then, therefore, the mood, there was not that sort of angry, like, transcendentally aggressive mood. It was a real mood of separation. And then they were all very joyful when Krishna appeared again and the rasa dance continued.
Yeah, I agree that everybody was, you know, one was, I think it explains how somebody was massaging Krishna. And but it, I also in that purport, thing which I focused on probably too much is that there was one gopi looking askance at Krishna. I seem to remember that from that pastime. And I was focusing on that. So, Gantaro Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Priman.
Hare Krishna, Sarvinastha Nanda Sami Ki
Jai.